from the ArmeniaProud.com studios.
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture. Only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Genatsit Parluis Inchpesek, my friends. It's April 8th. Chris, welcome aboard.
It's nice to be here.
Chris, as you well know, there's been a little bit of news going on in Armenia.
There's a lot happening, huh?
Yeah, a lot of things that we didn't expect to happen. We had a nice show ready for you guys this week, but you know what? I felt, let's switch it up and let's take a little back burner on the guests and so forth. I definitely think that it is important to talk about what has transpired over last weekend with Nagorno-Karabakh. Nagorno-Karabakh, Artsakh, I believe April 2nd, everything came to full-blown, basically a war with the Armenian forces, basically holding back and holding back the Azeri Turks. I don't know what triggered it. I really don't. I think it's sort of strange, huh? This is what I'm thinking, man. Well, for anyone out there, for any Armenian that doesn't know, I don't know how you wouldn't know, but here's the clueless Armenian I'm going to fill in right now. Nagorno-Karabakh was attacked by the Azerbaijan. The Azeris had a full offensive with Grad missiles, tanks, everything, drones. I mean, they threw the kitchen sink at us. And the Armenians held them back.
Yeah.
And we...
Holding strong.
Yeah, we bent on the front lines, and then we recaptured. And God bless all our troops, and God bless every one of them that perished away and died. We will never forget you. I think it's sad, but, you know, you think about all the soldiers that are out there right now putting their lives in danger, and you know what? Your death does not go without a notice from our people, and we'll never forget you. Yeah. We will never forget everything you've done, and I get emotional. I really do, because we're a small country, and we don't need shit like this. I mean, really, honestly, we do not need to get into wars with other countries. I know we're surrounded and so forth, but in essence, we're just trying to make it. They put a blockade around us from the get-go, and they thought that we'd starve it out like that. They thought that our chapter would be closed there. But no, we're Armenians. We're people that keep thriving forward and keep existing, keep coming up with great shows like the Armenia Podcast, just to bring out the good side. And there's so many good things happening around the globe with Armenians, and they couldn't bring us down like that. In any case, they said, now our next thing is let's attack them. And we held that back too. And you know what? We're our happy selves again. And again, hats off and God bless. Rest in peace to all the soldiers that we lost and all the people, anyone that got killed out there. This 12-year-old kid that hasn't even lived his life yet lost his life by a bomb. And you know what? It's stuff like this that just makes me outraged, and yet I'm so proud to be Armenian that we still hold on to our beliefs. And out in the streets of Armenia, I mean, there was so much passion, so much love. And you know what? We're going to interview Ani. She's in Armenia right now, and we're going to get her scoop on how the Armenians in Armenia feel about what's going on there. And you're seeing it throughout the globe. I mean, you got a Serbian player that scored a goal, and after he scored a goal, he threw off his jersey, and underneath that jersey was, it said, Karabakh belongs to Armenia. And that's beautiful. And he's not even Armenian. And you see it on the streets of Argentina, Lebanon, LA, Paris. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. If they think that we're only one course type of mind to where all we think about is April 24th, no, think again, my friends, because we are very proud people. and we will never, ever give in to the Turk side again. We won't do it. And then you got the Erdogan or whatever his damn name is. He turns around, the prime minister of Turkey says, we will support Azerbaijan totally, 100%. Well, guess what? You know, that right there, what you're saying that you're encouraging war.
Yep.
You're encouraging. You're telling them that they got the green light and we will back you. Now, we've got Russia. And Russia, I'm not too sure about this, because Russia turns around and says, we need to defuse this whole situation between Armenia and Azerbaijan. So, and he's calling on both countries to restrain. Now, these are our allies. These are our friends. And if you're seeing what's happening here, if someone comes into your house, don't you protect your family?
Absolutely.
You don't say, hey, I'm going to defuse this. I'm not going to fight back. No, that's not how we handle it, Russia. And I know, Putin, you wouldn't handle it like that either.
No,
okay?
You know he wouldn't.
So the point is, you better step up. If you're our ally, if you believe in us, you better step up and say to Azerbaijan, back the hell up. Just back up, pal. We know what you're doing. We see it on the satellite, who's firing who. I mean, come on. Back us up. Back us up if you're our friend. First off, you sold those weapons that they're using to hit us. I mean, they're using those weapons that Russia sold them. And these are our friends. God knows, if you have friends like this, who needs enemies?
Who needs enemies, exactly.
Anyway, that's what we got going right now in Armenia. Things have went to ceasefire, but that's kind of BS too, because the very next day they shot three of our soldiers with sniper fire. And that's not much of a ceasefire there. I think what this is setting up for, I really think this, is they're trying to defuse, I know that's the word I used again, but they're trying to defuse April 24th. I think Turkey has told Azerbaijan, start your shit with them. Start it with Armenia. Yeah, I know, Brian. I said shit. I don't care. I think the people out there are listening to me, and they don't care right now as well. I think Turkey has sent a little memo to Azerbaijan saying, hey, start something so the whole thing will be a notice about this Nagorno-Karabakh, and we don't have to hear about April 24th right around the corner. Because April 24th is like the cross to the Dracula to Turkey. They do not want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't like this thing popping up every time in the European center to where everyone's noticing April 24th. So I really believe that it has something to do with that. So that's my thinking on that. And I'm so proud of you guys, too. On the social media side, Kim Kardashian stepped up there and she mentioned Armenia. I mean, she's got so many followers. It was beautiful to see the Kardashians stepping up. You've got a lot of big-time people stepping up on this. And this is, you know, we bring up Israel, we bring up the Jews. This is how they stay unified, solidified. They galvanized to this, and this is exactly what the Armenians have done. And I'm so proud of you guys out there. Keep doing what you're doing. Let's never forget what's happening right now. We will never, ever allow a 1915 April 24th to ever happen again. It's not going to happen. We won't allow it. Anyway, that's my little view, and probably all is yours, too, out there. I'm sure every one of you feel the same way, passionate about this, as well you should. Anyway, let's see if we can get Ani on and get her little views on what's happening with the people in Armenia as well, from right there in the streets of Armenia. Let's give her a call. Hi, Ani. How are you?
I'm great. I'm safe here in Yerevan. Happy to say.
You know, everyone out there, Ani, everyone throughout the world listening to our show, and just to know that every Armenian out there has been seeing all the galvanized people in Armenia just sticking together. And what's your call on this, from what you're seeing in Armenia, since you're right there?
Honestly, energy-wise, I'm not going to lie, in the beginning when this first started happening, I was completely freaking out. I'm not used to living in a place or having visited somewhere that's, you know, under attack. But the energy of the Armenians here is very strong. They were very reactive to help. As an example, AUA students, American University of Armenia, already, like, right away, they got translations of all the reports in 19 languages out to the public. There's Mashdos Park and different organizations collecting goods and money to get out to the soldiers immediately for help. People are really united and coming together and very strong. I mean, there's no shortage of volunteers that are willing to fight and help and defend their homeland. And since there is a lot of misinformation out there, I think we've been doing a very good job in telling the truth in the best way we can, intelligently.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the truth? Because we've seen one side, and that's our side. What kind of other side could there be?
Well, on the Azeri media side, it's very
consistent. Their side,
And, you know, their government controls all their media, so that's a major problem, because if any of their citizens are in danger, nobody will ever know.
The thing on that, Ani, is that no one believes their side, and even the world doesn't believe their side, and they're just it's in black and white that who started. Why would the Artsakh people start anything? So they're very happy with what they have. They don't want anything more.
You know what? The thing is, you have all these so-called experts coming out of nowhere and talking about this when they haven't even been to Artsakh, experienced the beauty, the great energy, the nature, the amazing people. And you would know if you've been there that nobody wants to attack anyone. People are defending their families, they're defending their home, they're defending everything they have. So, like, it doesn't make sense to hear that the Armenian side attacked first. Like, what would they want to attack for? They're just trying to live,
right?
You know,
right.
And the Azeri media, at first they said that they did breach the ceasefire agreement, and then they changed it. So it's like, come on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And what's really cool about it as well is that Armenia has been through some financial problems with people economically and so forth. And all of a sudden, people just drop all that and just unify again. It's a group of people that cannot be explained throughout the world. Mm-hmm. Now, if this happened in Azerbaijan, people would actually start a civil war with their government. Hey, this is the best time to start. And that's...
It's definitely a reason I think they started to attack, because they're in such real... in a terrible place economically, and their people are pissed at their government, especially with this whole Panama Papers leaking, you know, Aliyev's family to all this corruption. They wanted to distract the situation and attack.
And what better than the boogeyman on the west called Karabakh? It's anything that happens, all of a sudden bring up the big monster out in the west. Mm-hmm. That's hey, as soon as these people are running to the or marching to the castle, they mm-hmm. say it's not us, it's Karabakh people. They're the ones behind it all. So all of a sudden, these sheep, they drop them torches and they start focusing on us again.
Exactly. And, you know, I was really impressed with the Armenian reaction. Was automatic unity, automatic help. Everyone's gathering goods and money to help the soldiers in the wounded families in the front line. The American University of Armenia students have gathered to translate reports in Armenian from Armenian to over 19 languages that are being sent out to the media. I mean, they're acting quickly. But you know what? The people of Armenia and Artsakh, they've been prepared for this their whole lives.
Right.
They're used to this.
Right.
They're used to defending. So it's kind of comforting for an American Armenian being here who was freaking out.
So basically, in Armenia, the morale in Yerevan is very high.
Yeah, and you know, my friend Arthur here, who is a son of the one of the ambassadors of Artsakh, who was just there for the past few days, and I think he could give a great analysis. So I'm going to pass it off to Arthur.
Arthur, what's your last name now?
Kebabjian.
Great to have you on our show. This is unexpected and very much a treat. Glad to have you on, Arthur.
Yeah, thank you.
What fill us in on anything that Ani missed out there. How's the people in Nagorno-Karabakh?
Okay, let me go into details of it. So Saturday, I was in Georgia. As soon as I arrived in Georgia, the neighboring country of Armenia, this news came out. As soon as I heard that there's fire and there's a kind of tension going on, by Sunday already I was in Armenia, and Monday I was there already. So as soon as I arrived, the first thing I did, I went to the capital, Stepanakert. There was a lot of media coverage. There was everyone from BBC, Jazeera, Russian television, this and that. It was media war all the way. So as a diaspora Armenian, I gave some interviews. My dad gave a lot of interviews, and reporters going to the borders, this, that. There was a lot of tension. And after, we heard that there was a ceasefire.
Now, and, Arthur, how many troops, do you have an official count of how many troops we did lose in this skirmish anymore?
It's 50. We have 50 loss, 121 injured, and some people missing. But on the other side, there's much, much more. There's around 2,000 people.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of troops, a lot of helicopters, a lot of tanks, this and that. And they lost around $60 million of stuff, helicopters, army, this and that. So the facts speak by itself.
Yeah.
Their dictator Aliyev guy was doing this propaganda for all those years that we can conquer Karabakh, this, that, in less than an hour, this and that, 4 days war. They didn't even gain 1 meter square from all this. They only gave body bags and lost artillery and tanks. So it was a huge win for us. And the funny thing is, we should mention, as soon as there was this tension, it was crazy. All of the Armenian united. Yeah, it is true. Everyone is there. A lot of volunteers were there to just go and do this. We're protecting our lands. Simple as that.
Inshallah. You know, we see it. We're seeing it, and not so much on CNN. We've been catching it on RT News a lot, what's going on. But what's funny to me is how Russia says that, I brought it up on my show, that it's funny how they're bringing up that two sides have to stop doing this, or they have to stop this fighting. How can we stop when we're protecting our home? What makes them say that? It's, and these are our allies saying this.
Yeah. I have no idea. How can I explain this? No one is understanding. We are on our lands. We are satisfied. We are on our lands.
We have real allies anyway, if you think.
Do we have? Yeah, we
it's
don't.
Kind
yeah.
of yeah. us on our own, you know, yeah. because you think Russia is going to save everybody, but Russia is selling arms to both sides.
Yeah. It's us only. But yeah, we can take care of ourselves. We can deal with this like we have done it in 1994. And yeah, we were victorious.
Now, do you think, is there anything to solidify this ceasefire right now? Do you think that this is going to hold up, or what's
no,
the...
No, I don't know. I don't think so. There are always violations about the ceasefire. Actually, I forgot also to say that, like, Monday I was there. Tuesday I went to the border, I went to Mardagert, and I heard already ceasefires and stuff. They're still doing some stuff. Some stuff are going on. Yeah.
They're still planning some stuff.
They're not even respecting their ceasefire, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Arthur, our prayers are with you guys, man. And I mean, and it's beautiful. I seen this on the social media. You seen the old Artsakh fighters that are 58, 60 years old, putting on these uniforms again, and it was like a movie of Robin Hood's old men back together again. And
everyone is there. Everyone is there, and it's nobody's going sad to this war. Everyone is like with high morale, and you know.
Yeah, we're seeing it.
Going to conquer. Yeah.
Is there anything that we can do, Arthur? Is there any funds? Is there any .coms that we can contribute to or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, they opened, the government opened the website. If you search about it, there is, they have some, a place where you can donate. Everyone can.
Where can we go? Would you have that? Or can
The website, no, I don't have it. But we'll send you the link, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, please. Please let us know that. We would love to have that link, and we can't say enough how proud we are. And from all the people, all the citizens, especially our soldiers, and rest in peace. I can't say enough. The 50, to me, when you said 50, something happened to me. I know 50 doesn't sound like the hundreds and thousands of theirs, but 50, if we lose one Armenian, it hurts
us. It's the same as losing us, 1,000.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, so God bless, and Arthur, good job. Good job, man. We love you, and keep doing what you're doing.
I came back to Yerevan now to send some aids. Tomorrow I'm going back. We're sending military boots for the soldiers at the border.
Bravo. Anything, again, Arthur, if there's anything, any site, anything that we can do to help out, we will definitely do our best to get you whatever you need. Please contact the show again, Ani, and to get back on our show, we'd love to hear from you.
It's great to be on with Arthur and someone, you know, he's somebody who lives there half of his life.
Yeah.
And going for such a sensitive case like this.
Yeah.
We were all worried about him, but, you know, it was very comforting to have him, you know, text back and say, I'm okay, you know.
Yeah, bravo.
We're talking to journalists.
And Ani, how many
pictures? Yeah.
How many Arthurs are out there? They're all Arthurs in my mind. You know, every one of them, every one of them on that front line, every one of them that live in Artsakh are right now Arthurs to me.
I wanted to make a note. It's great that the diaspora is sharing what they can about the situation to different media outlets. And I just want everyone to know that Azerbaijan has bought Google Map rights to the area. So if you check in anywhere in Artsakh, it says you're in Azerbaijan, which is technically a lie because I would know if I'm in Azerbaijan or not. Like, excuse me, I'm sorry, you know?
Right.
So there's little things like that that can mislead the public who is not aware of the situation. So I just want Armenians out there to choose their words wisely in terms of talking to people about it and telling them the truth.
Very good point.
Because everyone deserves the truth. Even the Azeri people who don't want to fight either, they deserve to hear the truth. They deserve to hear the truth about their dictator, who is a terrible, terrible man, and his family. And everyone really inside wants peace.
Yeah, that's the main issue. I agree. I totally agree. And I think you were going one step further on what you were saying just a minute ago is let's be aware of what we're putting out on social media as well, because this can affect our soldiers
Video
on the
wars,
front line, how many, and so forth. I we love the information that we get, but let's be a little bit more. Let's be a little bit more secretive about what we're giving out to everybody to see as well.
Ah, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
I mean, that's something that I think the Artsakh military maybe doesn't want everything to be seen either. So, you know, just I know you folks out there want to get as much information as we can to the Armenian public, but there's still some things that we have to keep on the low end side. If, like Ani just said, there's so much out there that they're picking up information from us. So let's not give them any more help than what they're doing right now.
And Master Garo, who's Arthur's father, had the best line out of this whole thing. And it's Azerbaijan is not going to war with people of Karabakh. They're going to war with 10 million Armenians.
That's right.
This war is not about 150,000 people that live in Artsakh. It's about 10 million of Armenians that live throughout the whole world.
Oh, I know, Arthur.
Aliyev, know that.
Yeah. Right now, this time, it's not like 93 or 94 where there was no social media. We just kicked back late night, listened to Itzar or BBC trying to get some sort of news. Now we're getting it full blown every minute. And you know what? I'm not being arrogant when I say this or whatever, but it's shows like this that even our troops can listen to on their podcast and just have a little bit of a motivation and so forth, knowing that we are behind them and we love them. And Arthur, you, God bless you and so many like you out there. And we can't get enough of how proud we are, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we want everyone to know that if they want to visit Artsakh, like in summer, that they are more than welcome to come and it'll be safe. Don't worry.
We'll take care
of it.
Exactly.
We want people to come.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it. Be safe. And we love
you
guys.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. And that was a great interview with Ani.
Yeah, it was good. A lot of good information.
Yeah, she gave us the scoop on what's going on in Armenia. Hey, my friends, if you want to know a little bit about what's going on in Armenia and so forth, there are so many great books, so many great stuff that you could find out on Amazon. I think I brought The Cross and the Crescent, maybe a book I found maybe like 6-7 years ago. I was lucky to find it on Amazon. But It was a great book, and you can find great stuff like that on Amazon. But before you shop on Amazon, go to our site, armeniaproud.com. It'll be on your right-hand side. And for all you guys out there using the iPhone and so forth, you may have to scroll all the way down to the bottom to find Amazon. So don't be worried if you don't see it on the right-hand side on your phone.
That's only on a computer.
But on your laptop, it's right there on your computer. It's on your right-hand side. Go to Amazon, click on from armeniaproud.com. You click on Amazon, and you won't see us again to worry about whatever else you got to go through with Armenia. No, you just go to whatever you want to buy and so forth. It's on Amazon. And you know what? Everything that you buy, we get a little bit of a little bit of love back from Amazon. It keeps the lights on here, so we appreciate everything that you guys are doing, and we are seeing you guys buying a lot of stuff from Amazon and clicking on to armeniaproud.com first and then going to Amazon. So God bless and keep doing the great job out there. You know, for people that do buy anything from Amazon, that's great.
Yep, it's a good deal for everybody.
And my friends, you're out there, you're listening to our show, and you know what? You want to take a little breather from what's going on right now politically and all that. I say tune in to Let's Get It On with John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock. It's a great show. It's UFC fighting. For our troops out there that are listening to podcast shows and so forth that just want their mind off things a little bit and you just want to think about something going on elsewhere, and we have a great show. It's about UFC fighting, and you get all the inside scoop on what's happening around the world in UFC with Big John McCarthy. You guys have seen him. I know he's the big referee that says, "Let's get it on." So, hey, guys, if you want to take a little breather from what's going on out there in reality world, and if you're our troops out there, God bless, and you just don't want to hear about things right now and you just want to tune everything out and enjoy something that's going on rest of the world, UFC, and that is Let's Get It On podcast.com, right?
Yep, that's it. Let's Get It On podcast.com or lineupmediagroup.com. You can find all the shows there.
Yeah, Lineup Media, that's another great spot. Lineupmedia.com, right?
Lineupmediagroup.com.
Lineupmediagroup.com. You can't go wrong there. You got all sorts of different shows. And that's for anyone that just wants to get away a little bit and just relax and listen to other stuff as well. So tune in, my friends. And I tell you what, I'm sorry our show was down a little bit. But you know what? It's been up in a way that how we put ourselves together.
Yep.
How we've coped with what has happened. We bent again. For thousands of years, we have bent. And we just keep hanging in there. And we get stronger and stronger. We forgot all about the internal problems of what's going on with Armenia financially, economically, with social status and all that. We came together again and we held the flag from one person holding it from the one end and the other on the other end. And you know what? That's what Armenians do. That's what we do. We have that rope. Then that rope is our flag. We hold it and we never let go of it. So from the from our show, from Chris, John O'Brien, hey folks, Genatsit Kisher Party, God bless, and we'll never forget all the Armenians that gave a little bit this week.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatsit Hayed,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabenjian. You can find the show online at armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Plus, join the conversation on social media at facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or at ArmeniaProud on Twitter. Get all of the Lineup Media Group shows at lineupmediagroup.com. Oh.